Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Doug Ize is here. Doug is a new friend. He's been here before. We've met him on the show once before. And he's back now. He's a wealth strategist and a registered securities representative, and he's got his own company, and he's very proud of, as I am of mine. And he's the author of a new book called Creating Generational Wealth. And he's going to talk to us about some things that we need to know about how to manage our money and how to do a better job of that. Doug Ize, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. So yes, what do the super wealthy know that we don't know?
Well, Jim, you know, they do stuff differently from a lot of folks. You know, one thing that they folks do is they make sure that they continually grow their family wealth and structure their businesses differently from a lot of us, you know, from the common way that the IRS have told us to structure our businesses. And one other thing they do is make sure that, you know, if something should happen to the main breadwinner, their family can continue to be successful in terms of the wealth that they're amassing.
They learn how to sustain their wealth through generations, don't they?
Exactly. And, you know, and there's tools that they use for that that is not very trivial to a lot of, you know, the regular common folks like you and I, you know, yep, that weren't born in wealth, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, that's exactly right. And so one of the things I think that happens to a lot of regular folks is they think that they don't have enough money to do some of the things that they don't have enough critical mass, so to speak, in their wealth to do some of the things that the super rich do. Is that true?
Yes, that's the problem that we've seen. But one thing that I've done in my practice is I help my clients kind of help them find money in places that they throw money away unknowingly and unnecessarily.
Huh.
Like the way they finance their business, the way they, you know, pay their mortgages, the way they make major capital purchases, the way they even pay taxes. So one thing we do done is look for the way where the money is being thrown away. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, I had a client that they were spending, they were putting an extra $1,000 a month towards paying off their mortgage quickly, you know, because they heard somebody tell them, well, you need to accelerate your mortgage payment. And they start putting an extra $1,000, you know, in their mind sounds good. But when I sat down with them, I said, wait a minute, why are you taking your hard-earned $1,000 to give to the bank? That money is not earning any interest. And two, at the same time, if you have an emergency with your business, how are you going to get the money? You got to go back to the bank to get a permission, and they would decline your loan. There's something they won't give you the money. Why not take that $1,000 and let's put it in an account that earns a consistent interest that will grow for a long time, guaranteed. And you could take money out without any, you don't have to apply for a loan to take money out from the account.
Well, especially today when most people have mortgages, the interest rate of their mortgage is probably less than 6% for most people.
Exactly.
And why pay off a mortgage at less than that percent, that percentage or less, when invested the right way, you can make more than that with that $1,000 somewhere else.
Exactly. And, you know, when you pay off the mortgage, you also lose your only, you know, tax deduction that you have, you know, on that property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not liquid, you know, but, you know, again, people have been misled with the wrong information, and they do those, you know, mistakes that cause them in the future later.
Well, that's exactly right. So that's good advice. What are some other things that we need to know?
Well, other thing is, you know, insurance. Because again, I talk a lot about using life insurance as your bank, as an emergency tool. Because, you know, when we look at the banks again, you know, we hear a lot of financial experts tell us to take our 6 months emergency money and put in a savings account at a bank. But the problem with that is, what is the interest rate you're earning on that? Because your money got to continue working.
Right.
You can't let your money just sit. You know, 0.1% interest is not really a good interest rate. It's bad. You know, so why am I putting my money in an account where the bank, first of all, they don't give me any type of respect, because if I go to get a loan, they'll have to check my blood to give me that money.
That's right.
So, right? So I teach clients how to use life insurance, cash value life insurance, as a way for them to, one, use as a capital, you know, in the future if they need it. You know, I'll give an example of that. Like, when I started a medical practice for my wife, you know, we have a medical clinic in Waldorf, Maryland, called the AZ Family Health Center. I financed it with my life insurance policy. You know, we went to the bank, like the traditional, because I'd rather use the bank's money than
right.
mine. But they didn't give her the loan because she's a new business owner and she doesn't have history.
Right.
Well, I had a 15-year history at that time with my company, Lago Financial, with good credit. But they said, well, because it's not the business that's asking for the loan, they're not going to give it to us. So they declined that loan. And so I said, you know what, let me just finance it with my life insurance policy. So I called the insurance company, and they gave me their money to use to start the business.
The money that you had accumulated in that policy.
So they used that money as a collateral.
The cash value. You took the cash value out of a policy.
Exactly. And the way it works is, that's another thing that most people think. You're not really taking your money. You're actually taking the insurance company money. So what happened was, the insurance company said, hey, we'll give you our money against your cash value.
Mm-hmm.
And by them giving me my money against, I mean, their money against my
cash value. So you recommend whole life over term?
Oh, yeah, all day. Because the reason is,
whole life insurance, folks, over term insurance. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, over term insurance. And there's different types of we call it permanent policy, because whole life is just
permanent
one.
Permanent policy,
there's
yes.
Permanent. There's index universal life, there's universal life, there's
right.
whole life. So they all work different ways, and we kind of teach people how to use them properly. Now, term insurance, there's nothing wrong with it. You just got to buy it. And remember, when you buy term, you're telling the insurance company that you're going to die in that term period.
That's right.
Well, you're renting.
You're hedging your bets. That's what you're doing. Hey, I need a website. I need a website, Doug.
Yeah, it's LagoFinancialServices.com.
All right, so check it out, folks. And the book is called Creating Generational Wealth by Douglas A.C. Eze. We're going to take a quick break. More to come after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.